Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
ESNY. Before we get into things, I have no idea what's going on with House of the Dragon.
Really?
It's like, okay, like they're clearly building up to something, but Daemon, I don't think he's craving the throne as much as we're thinking. I don't know, marrying off Rhaenyra to Corlys's son. I gotta get the audiobook, man. That's what I gotta do. I gotta bite the bullet and just listen to the audiobook.
I need to re-up reading Fire and Blood.
But
I agree. I feel like, I can't see Daemon as being as power hungry as either the show wants us to believe or what some of the other characters believe. There's a lot of nuance to his character, which is really fascinating.
The podcast Jason Concepcion says that he just wants to be in King's Landing to be near his brother, which
I really like that podcast, by the way. So
it's a good one.
Yeah, if anyone's a big House of Dragons, Game of Thrones fan, highly recommend that one.
Anyway, how's it going, guys? It is Bleacher Creatures episode 143, brought to you as always by XL Media, Crossing Broad, Elite Sports NY, Warwick Gaming, and as always, Rivercrest NYC. So my week's basically ruined, man. I don't think you understand. We've got House of the Dragon. Andor drops tomorrow with three episodes, so I was rewatching Rogue One today, and all week long, I've got to deal with Yahoo's like CeCe Sabathia, like Danny Small, going on and on and on, and ruining my goddamn day, saying Shohei Ohtani is the American League MVP, not Aaron Judge. Like, what kind of crap is this, man?
Yeah, there is a difference between being the best player in the league and being the most valuable player in the league.
Otani's not either this year. That's the thing.
You can maybe make the argument that he could be the best player in the league just because of like what he does. And, you know, but like, let's admit it. Like, you know, he does both things really well. I think the argument that he's a mid pitcher is in bad faith.
I actually just looked at
this pitching. It's so, sorry to interrupt, but like it's so funny to see the mental gymnastics of the pro Ohtani camp trying to downplay what Aaron Judge is doing this year.
I don't understand it. Like how he's the first Yankee since Alex Rodriguez, like you said in the group chat earlier, to have multiple 50 home run seasons.
Not the first Yankee, the first player in baseball Alex Rodriguez.
Even better.
Mike Trout hasn't done it. Albert Pujols does not have a 50 home run season.
Yeah. Hashtag Mike Trout isn't that good. So,
and then also the fact that Aaron Judge might be the first player since, I don't know, Barry Bonds. Like, I honestly would have to look up the stat, but when's the last time a player finished a season with an OPS of 1,100?
Probably not since Bonds.
Yeah. Again, not Trout. Not Pujols.
I don't think A-Rod did it in any of his.
I did a brief look at A-Rod. I don't think he did it. I mean, I think Justin Verlander came up with a quote either today or yesterday saying that Aaron Judge is chasing history and Shohei Ohtani is making history. It's like, no, Aaron Judge is making history too. We were seeing one of the best offensive performances by a player in at least the last 20 years.
Yeah, and I get that people are going to say, oh, like this isn't his new normal. It's a contract year thing. Even if it is, Aaron Judge is showing that he can effortlessly read the strike zone. He's figured out a way to stay healthy. He moves the ball all over the place. He's getting into territory where we've seen it in the Yankees games the last couple of weeks. The man cannot be pitched to.
Also, I'm not totally convinced that this isn't like not the norm for him. because his first full rookie year, he hit 52 home runs. This year, he's on pace for 60. Over his career, his 162-game average is 49 home runs. Like, the dude easily and effortlessly can hit 50 home runs any given fucking season.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll get to this later on in the show, but that also, like, really makes you take a long, hard look at this contract talks. But, like, I don't understand the Ohtani thing. Okay, yeah, he's having a great season. I'd say he's pitching better this season than he was in his MVP season.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at his hitting stats, okay, the power's a little down, batting average is up, but the walks are also down. And as the walks go down, so does the OPS. And yeah. At the same time, like, I don't understand why we need to keep having this conversation. Shohei Ohtani is a great player, much like Mike Trout, on a terrible team. He's not a difference maker.
Like, everyone who's arguing against Judge, like, seemed to miss that fact. It should be the most valuable player that – You take Ohtani off a team, and in any years that Trout won the MVP, not saying like he was undeserving of winning the MVP, but like, let's be honest, you take these guys off the Angels are still fucking bad.
Yeah.
You take Judge off the Yankees, and the Yankees missed the goddamn playoffs.
Yeah. I this is for all the pro Ohtani people who are listening, and Danny Small, this includes you too. Did you not watch am I the only one, or Alec and I the only ones who are watching the Yankees in August? Judge was the only one who was doing anything in that lineup. Yeah.
Like this guy is doing things in a lineup that offers no protection to him. Like Giancarlo Stanton, who the fuck is terrified of Giancarlo Stanton right now?
I'm terrified of that exit velocity under any circumstances, but
yeah, I mean, like, that's more for like personal safety reasons than like the actual result of the game. But like, yeah. The dude is a shell of what he was in the first half, and then after that, yeah. You have a bunch of fucking replacement level players or below replacement level players. Donaldson's not what he used to. Rizzo's hurt. Carpenter's hurt. Like, Judge is doing things in a lineup that offers no fucking protection. Meanwhile, Ohtani's over there with Trout in that lineup. And again, credit to Ohtani. When there were times when Trout was out of the lineup, he's still producing. But this whole bullshit that we need to punish Judge by not giving him the MVP because he doesn't do something that Ohtani trained his entire life to do is asinine.
It's like the compiler argument for the Hall of Fame.
Right, exactly.
It's like, oh, like you're punishing someone who is durable enough over a long career just to play on a bunch of bad teams and still hit these milestones. Okay, great. So it's their fault they were healthy enough to do that. Great.
Yeah. Like one person, like you could argue that maybe like a guy like Pujols probably could have been out of the league 2 years ago, but guess what? He's 3 home runs away from 700. So who gives a fuck?
I really hope, and like, it's not going to happen. I really hope that if the Cardinals either win the World Series or don't, I hope he comes back just for one more year. Okay, we know he can still play. Like,
yeah, in a very sheltered reserve role for sure. But he can still catch up to a fastball. Like, but anyway, like, putting that tangent aside, I don't understand how people can just so easily say Ohtani's the MVP. Maybe this is going to spur Major League Baseball to create a like overarching player of the year, kind of best player all around. And look, if you want to give that to Ohtani and Trout for the next 10 years, cool, fine, whatever. But Judge has been already robbed of one MVP. How the fuck are you going to rob him of the second one? When he might literally set the new American League home run record.
Yeah, not to mention Yankees fans are still mad Jeter didn't get the MVP in 2006.
You know, it's so funny when you look back at the history of MVP voting. It's ridiculous, like the inconsistencies. I was looking at one. I think it was the year Mo Vaughn won his MVP, I think it was the year after he won his MVP. He came in second.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a sec. Let me pull this up.
When did Mo Vaughn win MVP? Like, what was that, 95, 96?
He won it in 95. He hit 300 with 39 home runs and 126 RBIs.
Oh, and that was a shortened season, too, for 95.
And so in 96, he finished in fifth. And I was like, oh, who finished, you know, who won the MVP that year? The guy who fucking won the MVP that year was Juan Gonzalez with a 3.8 war. Now, to be fair, he hit 314 with 47 home runs and 144 RBIs. But, like, there's no consistency with it regardless. Like, so,
yeah.
It's weird. Like, A-Rod came in second. A-Rod came in second with one lesser first place vote, and he hit 358 with 36 home runs, 123 RBIs. So, like, again, I also don't like this whole discourse, especially on social media, where we have two guys doing historical things, and to elevate one, we have to bring down the other. Like, as a baseball fan, you know, I appreciate and enjoy what Ohtani does, and I appreciate and really enjoy what Judge does. I just don't, again, like, people just speak in such, like, absolutes of Ohtani gets MVP because he can pitch. It's like that, if that's the reason why we are giving him the MVP, it's just because he can pitch and Judge does not do that. Like, that's a bullshit reasoning. Like, take things in the perspective, have a little bit of critical thinking that what Judge does every day as the go-to guy in a Yankee lineup that is in first place in the American League. Like someone posed a question, would you trade Judge for Ohtani's production? And it was like, if you say no, you're lying to yourself. And I, like, straight face said, like, no. Like, why? The Yankees losing Judge is more detrimental because we know their pitching can handle it. The pitching is not an issue for the Yankees. It's the fucking offense. You got one guy who's producing at an above, like, at an elite level. And you're like, oh, we're going to sacrifice a little bit of that just so we can get a pitcher who has a 2.55 ERA. Unless that pitcher is hitting bombs like Aaron Judge and pitching like fucking Doc Gooden, then maybe I will consider it.
I'm going to read, like, one article that says, like, oh, like, I'm not going to say who made this argument. We're going to keep the innocent parties anonymous. The argument is not that he's a unicorn. The argument is that he's the most valuable player in baseball because he does the two most important things, starting pitching and big-time power bat, on an elite level. Really? He's hitting 265. He hit under 260 last year. Aaron Judge is in the Triple Crown conversation.
Yeah. It's like, again, not to discredit Ohtani, but, like, I don't know how – maybe he's a unicorn. And let's be honest, he is a unicorn just because we haven't seen someone do this in hundreds – in
it's unprecedented.
Years. It is very unprecedented. And that dude, like, he's a pleasure and a joy to watch. But, like, we're seeing shit that we haven't seen from Aaron Judge since the steroid era.
Yeah, like, and yet the same person saying Ohtani's reinventing the game of baseball as we know it. Really? I don't see any other two-way players popping up out of the woodwork because of him.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. You can't say he's a unicorn and also say he's reinventing the game. Because, like, as you said, as far as I'm aware, in the minor leagues, in college ranks, you're not seeing it. You're not seeing it in the international scene. Like, he is a one of one. And that's fine.
Now, granted, like, Spencer Jones, like the outfield prospect in the Yankee system, he kind of dicked around with being a two-way guy for a little bit at Vanderbilt. But now it seems very clear. No, this guy's an outfield. Like, maybe he's prime pitching, but let's see him hit.
But you also don't think Judge can step on the mound and throw 98? Like, come on.
I mean, he could. I don't necessarily want him to.
No, exactly. But, like, you know, he's not really reinventing the game. He's a one of one player who is doing unprecedented things, but that shouldn't mean we automatically give him the MVP because that just seems like a bad faith decision.
I'll tell you what's going to be interesting, and this is actually a really good segue into the next part, into the second half of the show, because folks, it's going to be a short episode. There's only so much complaining we can do about this garbage. Dude, I swear, like this crap ruins my day. I shouldn't let it ruin my day, but, like, I'm taking this personally.
I just don't understand how people can watch a guy on pace to hit 65 home runs and say he's not that good.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting because Judge's free agency is after this season, and Ohtani's, I think, is after next season. Or maybe, like, 2 years from now. Yeah. So Judge, I mean, Alec, let's be honest with ourselves. The guy's going to get a mega contract at this point.
Yeah.
Unless you have like cold, hard numbers that say these home runs are a mirage. The things that he, like what he's going to do for the next, let's say 5 to 10 years, he's going to average between 30 to 40 home runs a year. That's still enough to get him a great contract and should be able to get him a great contract. But at the same time, like I was going to write a piece on this, like after the next home run, Aaron Judge is literally hitting Brian Cashman into a corner. Like no, give me my money. Get me like get in the corner. No, I'm going to get this contract. Whack, whack, whack. And honestly, we know Brian Cashman loves the analytics. He loves hanging on to his prospects. I don't understand how this deal goes down, because if Aaron Judge walks, it's not just him who's going to be the biggest villain in New York City. It's going to be Brian Cashman probably even more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember what I said last episode. If they let him walk and they don't have a contingency plan to replace him, I am renouncing my Yankee fan, like citizenship.
You're That's full of shit, that. But okay.
So, I am not full of shit.
What are you going to do, become a Phillies fan?
No, I'm just going to be an ambiguous baseball fan.
Well, better that than a Mets fan.
Oh, yeah, fuck the Mets.
Yeah,
let me just say, just the Mets.
This is actually really funny. I think I might have shared this with you. So my brother Brandon, he's like a few years younger than me, and he's more of a casual baseball fan, but he got really into the captain. And he and I were texting like during the midst of the Yankees slump. And I just like, and he's like, hey, well, the Mets are the team in New York to beat right now. And I'm like, dude, they're just the Mets. And he was just like, yo, the captain. And so now, like whenever the Mets lose, I think I almost just want to text them hashtag just the Mets.
It's just the Mets.
It's the Mets. But
look, like yeah, the one thing that's frightening about the Aaron Judge situation is just like, you know, he's I think on the wrong side of 30.
He's 31 in April next year. Yeah.
So, you know, a contract that goes probably beyond 6 or 7 years is not going to end up being well. But you know what? At this point, fuck it. Like, you can't lose him. If he goes the next 4 years hitting between 35 to 50 home runs, like, the contract will pay for itself.
Yeah.
Secondly, that's probably going to cement him for a Hall of Fame, vote. So,
I mean, Michael Kay was talking about it on the show yesterday. He goes, let's say it's a 10-year contract, but if he's good for 5 of those years, that's still a win.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, you can eat it. I'm like, it's the fucking New York Yankees. You can eat the last 5 years.
Yeah. Plus, you know, next year, like, it's all but certain you're going to shed some money via losing the Aaron Hicks contract. I wouldn't be surprised if Cashman tried to unload Donaldson. You know, Torres is probably gone. That's another bunch of money that's off the books. So
there's definitely room there. And then also, if you think about it, you can lock up Judge for that extension, whatever it's going to be. And then you're still going to have a lot of talented people around him cheap. You're going to have Volpe. You're going to have Peraza. You're going to have Dominguez at some point, who, by the way, just got called up to AA.
Yeah. Now
he's suddenly looking like the real deal again.
Yeah. I mean, like he's got to cut the strikeouts down, but he's also 19.
Yeah. He's fucking 19 playing against like 23-year-olds. Like,
yeah,
that shit I'm not worried about.
Yeah. I mean, like, plus he's being touted as a power hitter. I've just kind of made peace with the fact that, okay, if someone's called a power hitter, that means they're going to strike out a lot. Like look throughout all of baseball history. Reggie Jackson struck out a bunch. Mickey Mantle also struck out a bunch. I think Roger Maris struck out a bunch too.
Yeah. Yeah. So Mike Trout struck out a bunch.
Yeah. It's part of the game. This is what happens when pitching continually gets better and better and better and guys learn like 60 different ways to spin the ball.
Yeah. And also remember the fact that like when Judge came up in his rookie year, hit 52 home runs, still struck out over 200 times. And I don't think he struck out over 200 times since then.
No, he hasn't. So
you have a legitimate hitter.
Yeah. Now that said, besides the Yankees, where's he going to go? Okay. Well, like the Red Sox might be players. I don't see it happening. Chaim Bloom is a race.
If they're having a hard time trying to extend Bogaerts and Devers, I don't see them going after Judge. And someone said, or maybe it was Michael Kay, and like apparently Bloom wants to go the Tampa Bay route, which is cheap talent.
Well, that's more an assumption just because that's where he came from.
Fair. Okay.
But at the same time, like I have a friend, like my old podcast co-host, Paulie D. DeSena, where like I said to him, I was texting with him yesterday and he was complaining about the Yankees getting waxed by the Red Sox per usual. And he says, oh, ooh, big man being up on a last place team, bunch of mean bullies, Chaim needs to go. I said, Chaim is doing exactly what he was hired to do. We'll probably get an extension after this season.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just because look at who the Red Sox have coming up through the systems. Jaron Duran, okay, he's not perfect, but he's still got some potential. Tristan Casas, I cannot wait to watch that guy mash against the Yankees. And I mean,
yeah, that dude's
saying that. Yeah, that guy, oh my God.
That home run he hit off of Cole was like, damn. Like, it looked so effortlessly, and he hit that shit like on a, it was like a moonshot, but also
kind of like a looping moonshot. Yeah.
Like,
it was a Fenway Park home run.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they got Jeter Downs. They got some good talent out there.
Yeah. Bloom, his job right now is to rebuild that minor league system that was run into the ground again and again and again. Hashtag Rusny Castillo. And God, what a bad deal.
Oh man, I forgot about that.
Yeah, like 6 years, 70 something million. He like lived in the minors. It was the Red Sox's version of Keiagawa. we're throwing it back today, folks. But yeah, he's there to revitalize the minor league system. Aaron Judge, like, unless he kind of goes the weird thing, he does the weird race thing where he has all these little scrappy dudes built around one big star. And even though the Rays wouldn't spend hundreds of millions of dollars on a star like Judge, yeah. So you got to roll them out. The Giants, I mean, Zaidi's saying that they're going to be competitive and aggressive in the free agent market. Okay, yeah, he's from Northern California, grew up a Giants fan, big Barry Bonds guy. But we were just talking how he's making history with home runs. He's not going to be able to do that in San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to be able to take advantage of right center, I guess. No.
Unless he's content like having a bunch of doubles and being like a 30 to 40 home run guy, which okay, maybe his whole goal his entire career was eventually at some point go back home and play for the Giants.
Yeah,
but like if he goes to the Giants and it's a simple factor of taking the money, then it's Robinson Cano all over again, where oh shit, you don't realize how much you actually need Yankee Stadium, how much your success is tied to Yankee Stadium. That said, Aaron Judge is a much better hitter than Robinson Cano ever was. But
yeah, I think he hits the ball hard enough to where his success will translate across the entire league.
Yeah, but a big part of his game is going to right field so often and so well. But like, and with that high wall in San Fran, he can't do it.
Like that, yeah. But that home run he hit in Boston, perfect example. Like, he obviously has the power to hit it anywhere because, like,
yeah,
the Red Sox bullpen is a mile away from home plate. And he made that look fucking easy on a curveball, no less. So, but yeah, like I've said it before, I'll say it again. He'll look very good in San Francisco colors. I might even buy a jersey of him in San Francisco colors.
Oh, I would totally buy a Judge Giants jersey. You kidding me?
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I won't blame him if he goes to like a place like San Francisco. I don't see Boston being a realistic place. I think they're just trying to.
If he goes to the Dodgers, I think he's trying to stir it up.
Yeah, the Dodgers can fuck off if they get.
Yeah. All this said, I still think it's very likely he stays with the Yankees. But here's my question for you. Let's say that you're Brian Cashman. You have two options. You could offer Judge a market value deal, but for a little bit longer than you'd like. Or you lose him for 2 years, knowing you have guaranteed you can sign Juan Soto to a record-setting deal. What do you do? I would go for Juan Soto in that regard.
Yeah, because you'll be getting a 25-year-old Soto.
Yeah.
Lefty bat.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't know. The thing is,
it's really tough. It's not as easy a choice as it sounds.
I think it's just it's hard to fully sign off on that just because you like, are you saying it's like a guarantee you get him in 2 years?
Yeah, it's think of it like from the Garrett Cole standpoint where, yeah, you tried to trade for him when you could, but deep down you always kind of knew he was going to come here in free agency.
And probably I can take that.
Yeah.
Like, if it's like one of those things, it's like, okay, this is the year that we're going to go out and get Soto and the Yankees don't make an offer, then it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, Brian Cashman has never lost a guy he couldn't lose. Losing Aaron Judge might be the first time that happens.
And well, and that leads me to the point I wanted to bring up. Yes, Cashman has never lost a guy that he couldn't afford to lose, but he's like fractured those relationships. And I can see Aaron Judge being the guy who's just like, I really don't owe you or this team anything. I will walk and have no problem with it. And if you're going to like try to, you know, the captain portrayed it perfectly with the relationship between Cashman and Jeter. Like that relationship, I feel like is fractured pretty much beyond, like, it's kind of like the A-Rod situation. It's fractured beyond repair. Like they can be civil and cordial with each other.
Well, but in fairness to Jeter and A-Rod, it's like based on what Jeter said. Now, granted, this was in front of the cameras on K-Rod, but like it, Derek Jeter is a lot of things. He's never been a liar, ever.
Yeah.
And so if he goes out there on TV and says, hey, like when I lost my best friend, Gerald Williams, my like former teammate, really put things in perspective. I called Alex, we had some drinks and like we buried the hatchet. We talked things out. I'm going to believe him that it's okay.
But you know, it's not the first time where a player negotiations with Cashman and by extension, fucking Randy Levine, that shithead, hasn't caused serious issues. Recently, we saw it with like Betances, like when that dude literally gave his entire arm to be one of the best relievers in the game. And then you hear it from like Pettit, you hear it from Mo, you hear it from Posada. Like,
losing Pettit, like I always blame that more on George than I did Cashman.
Well, no, yeah, but especially with like Posada saying they felt like they were just like Posada and Bernie saying that they felt like they were just
pushed aside. Yeah.
And so, like, I can see Judge being the kind of player being like, you're not going to play that game with me. Maybe it's just like what we're entering an age in the sports world where there's a lot more autonomy going towards the players than in the past.
Right. Yeah.
The good thing because like I'm
a lot more player empowerment. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm never going to begrudge a player for going to and getting the bag. Like set up your family, set up your generations. Judge has been playing it very close to the chest. So kind of in by extension, what Jeter did, but I don't quite see that same desire of like, I'm going to be a lifetime Yankee and like, you know, the same way Jeter did. So yes, I completely recognize like tying this all together. I completely recognize that Cashman's never lost a guy who couldn't afford to lose, but I can definitely see Judge being the first one.
Yeah. It's going to be a nightmarish off season.
Yeah. I'm going to be in the throes of hockey season. So
yeah, well, I'll be watching the Knicks. So there we go. But going back to Ohtani, though, so Judge is going to command a big contract as a soon-to-be 31-year-old. Ohtani isn't even 30 years old. We also already talked about Juan Soto. And Ohtani is going out there as someone who can have a 40-home-run season and also put up Cy Young-caliber numbers. So I do not want to be the GM who has to put together that offer because you're thinking, okay, what number do I put out there for this guy as a two-way player for a long-term deal, knowing that at some point he's going to lose half of his game?
Well, not just that. It's like if you're the GM of the fucking Angels, and you know, I hate the Angels, fuck the Angels. I'm still bitter about 2002.
Yeah, me too.
So
we've been dropping a lot of F-bombs today, man. We got angry. Oh,
yeah, sorry. Are we going to have to flag this?
No.
It's been a long night.
Yeah.
But like, go sign Ohtani, Los Angeles, like Angels. Like, go ahead and just be stuck with Ohtani and Trout and be mediocre for the duration of both those contracts. Please, I beg of you, so that you can continue being the laughing stock of the MLB for having two faces of the league, of the entire sport, and being unable to build a successful team around them. Because you're not going to do it anytime soon. You sure as shit ain't going to do it in the future.
That's the take.
That's my take.
Wow, we might have to put that up on Twitter.
No, but like, yes, it's really hard to imagine what that number is going to be. Because the number is going to simultaneously seem absolutely ridiculous, but then also being like, no, he deserves every penny.
Because you have to figure one or possibly all three of Judge, Juan Soto, and Shohei Ohtani. That's a trio right there that in the next year could command a $500 million contract.
Oh, yeah. I think we're probably going to see it from Soto just due to his age.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, like, it's funny because you see it in the NBA, right?
Yeah.
You see, like, they're shorter contracts, but like, what was that extension that LeBron signed? Isn't he going to make like?
It's a 2 year max extension, so it's like, I think it's like 30-ish million a year.
So like, we're gonna enter these really interesting times in contract extensions and how teams are gonna have to. Actually, you kind of see the Braves trying to get out in front of it and preventing that from happening. But like, yeah, like, why wouldn't a guy like Soto be worth a $500 million contract?
All this being said, I don't think Judge is going to command $40 million a year.
No.
No. I think that, okay, let me crunch some numbers real quick. I think
unless he goes for a 3 or 4 year contract extension.
What was that? And
then unless he goes like 3 or 4 years in the extension, then I'll give him $40 million a year. Like 40.
Yeah. Like a short term thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe if the Yankees end, like, I'll say this. If I am the Yankees right now, I will approach Judge Camp and say, hey, would you prefer a shorter term deal but with a higher AAV?
Right.
Just be like, hey, not saying this is what we want to do. I just want to know how open are you to it?
Yeah.
Because this way you can keep betting on yourself and then put yourself in the same position again at an older age, and then maybe demand even more money.
Who knows? Well, I never understand why players take these absurdly long contracts. Like, I understand like the money appeal from it, but like a guy like Trout signing a 14-year contract, like,
yeah,
maybe it's just personally me. I can't imagine signing away something and being like, I will be in this place for 14 years. If it happens organically, fine, whatever. But like, right. The idea of, okay, I am now contractually obligated to be here for 14 years didn't really make much sense to me.
Especially when you take into consideration how many baseball players are notorious creatures of habit. Like when they say, I'm inking that paper, like you're saying, yeah, Bryce Harper in Philly for 13 years.
Yeah. Like if I'm a guy like
your routine, 13 years.
Yeah. If I'm a guy like Judge, I'm trying to have like a very realistic outlook on how, what, like, I'm like, I would sit down and ask myself, what are the next 5 to 7 years of my career gonna look like? I'm 30 whatever years old. I'm 30 31. I probably realistically, unless he himself is a unicorn, realistically will probably have 3 to 5 good years left.
Yeah,
right. So if I'm Judge, I'd be like, why not sign a 4-year $50 million a year contract? Like, Because if you think about it, if you can produce at the level he's producing right now in those 4 years, which by all indications, I don't believe why he couldn't. Like, that's his, as I said earlier, he's punching his Hall of Fame ticket.
Yeah.
He's getting the generational wealth.
Michael Kay also said, like, he's, if he plays at Yankee Stadium, he's also putting himself in a position to make further history.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. It's going to be an exciting and stressful offseason.
Yeah.
Either way, I think that if you offer him, don't draw the hard line in the sand like you did with Robbie Cano, where it's like, hey, 7 years, this is your AAV, that's where we're capping it.
Yeah.
I think that with Judge, because they offered him, I think, a 7 or 8 year deal, I think you got to go the call route, go up from a 7 or 8 to an 8 or a 9, and maybe make that offer an opt out midway through and then add some options on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a deal to be made here. There's always a deal to be made, and stubbornness from either party should not tank this.
Yeah, well, you know that if it falls apart, it's pride. It's pride either from the Yankees. I'm like, I already saw Randy Levine opened his fucking mouth, and it's just he assassinates contract like negotiations.
I'm saying this as someone who actually full on agreed with Randy Levine about Dylan Betances, but yeah, because like he said, oh, like Dylan Betances doesn't deserve closer money. I'm like, no shit, he doesn't deserve closer money. He always chokes in the ninth inning.
Yeah,
like seriously, look at Dylan Betances' career ERA in the ninth inning. It's close to four.
Right,
like then it was never closer material.
But yeah. It will be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like Rangers, their season's going to be hot. Giants are winning the Super Bowl. Book it.
They're not winning the Super Bowl.
Let's fucking go.
I did pick them. I will say I did pick them to win this week again.
Proud of you.
Yeah. I thought, along with everyone else last week, felt like, oh, no, like Derrick Henry and the Titans, the Giants are going to get destroyed. And then
I'm going to say I don't know how to pronounce it. Dayball, like,
yeah.
Talk about a guy who has endeared himself to New York. Like,
yeah.
his public support of the Rangers when the Rangers are on their, you know, run to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then just the balls, the fucking cojones to call that conversion.
Yeah, and now he has to face Baker Mayfield and Matt Rhule, who, God, what a disaster.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so – anyway, that's Bleacher Creatures today, folks. Nice short Aaron Judge rant show. I'm sorry. Shohei Ohtani is not the MVP.
No.
The Angels are a poverty franchise.
Poverty.
even with all that money. No wonder Artie Moreno's selling them. All right. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at JoshBESNY. You can find him, Alec_MontyCalvo. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, where all the podcasts are. Thanks a lot, folks. We will see you next week.